Jonathan.
Hi, Charlie.
What's that?
A golf cart.
What's it for?
For getting me from point A to point B without having to walk.
Oh.
Hey, are you going to help with the neighborhood work day tomorrow?
Nope, I can't.
Why not?
I'm flying across Lake Michigan with Mrs. Staplewind. I'm going to see my Oma and Opa.
You're flying over that lake in that little plane? That's like 70 miles. I wouldn't do that if you paid me, especially with Mr. Staple Run.
Why not?
Well, he's a... never mind. It's probably nothing. Well, gotta go. Bye, Charlie.
Bye, Mr. Pennington.
Whoa, cool.
What you looking at?
This little brown thing. I think it's a bug.
That's not a bug. There's no legs, there's no eyes or anything. It looks sort of like a seed.
No, look. When I poke it, it moves.
Ugh, that's weird.
Hope and Charlie, what did you find?
A funny wiggling bug.
I think it's a pupa.
Whoa, look, something's happening.
You're listening to The Brinkman Adventures, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us for this exciting and inspiring story. Have you ever been so scared of something that you can't stop thinking about it? In today's episode, Charlie Brinkman will have to face one of those types of fears. Right now, he's watching something very interesting unfold before his eyes. Let's get back to the story and find out what's happening.
Incredible! Are you okay?
I think I swallowed it.
You swallowed a fly?
Your boy swallowed a fly.
Hope.
Perhaps he'll...
Stop it. It's not funny.
Hope, that's enough.
Dad?
Come in. Hi, Charlie. What's wrong?
I swallowed a firstborn fly.
You swallowed a firstborn fly? What's a firstborn fly?
I was watching this little brown wiggly thing, and then it hatched and I went, and I sucked it in and I swallowed it.
I see. Actually, it was a secondborn fly. First from an egg, then from that little brown thing.
Do you think I'll die?
From eating it? No. Just think of it as good protein. Hey, are you excited about flying in Mr. Staple Run's airplane? You having second thoughts?
What if the plane runs out of gas over Lake Michigan?
Are you really worried about that?
It happened to you in Alaska, right?
Well, that was a different situation.
But if it did, would I die?
I suppose you could die, but you don't have to fear death when you know Jesus.
I don't think I want to fly across the lake.
Charlie, you have a greater chance of dying in a car accident than you do in a plane crash.
I still don't want to go.
Oma and Opa will be disappointed if they don't get to see you. Let's talk about this later, okay?
Okay.
Right now, it's time to start. Let's go to the kitchen. Everyone here?
All except for Kate. Coming.
House looks great, you guys.
Thanks.
Rest time.
You're right, Micah. Let's sit down. Esther, glad you could join us. Did Gracie tell you what we're doing?
You're taking a day to rest?
That's right. We spend one day a week resting from our work. We turn off the internet and relax and spend time with each other and with God.
That's cool.
It's the best day of the week.
Why's that?
No chores.
I like relaxing and having time to read.
This gives us time to reconnect with God and each other. It's my favorite time of the week, too.
Esther, one of our traditions is to go around the table and say what we're thankful for. We start with the youngest and go to the oldest. You can participate if you like.
I'd love to.
Okay, Micah, what are you thankful to God for?
For my butter chocolate.
And you, Peter?
That God beat the devil.
That's Amen.
Right. That's right. Hope?
That God helped Mom find my new shoes.
That's great. How about you, Charlie?
That I didn't die from that fly.
Oh, Charlie. And you, Gracie?
I'm thankful that Esther could come over tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that Grace and I are friends.
Isaac.
That my voice has finally stopped changing?
I can't tell the difference between you and Ian anymore.
And Ian?
I'm thankful for the weed whacker I found along the road. I'm going to make a go-kart out of the engine. That's not really going to be that fast, Ian. But it'll get good gas mileage.
Okay, Kitri.
I'm thankful that God made us creative.
Yeah.
And you, Kate?
For a day of rest.
And last but not least, you, Susan.
I am thankful for God's provision this week. I found a bunch of clothes for the kids at the thrift store, and they were brand new.
Oh, nice. Cool.
What are you thankful for, Dad?
I'm thankful for how God saves us.
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day of rest. We praise you and worship you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to save us from our sins. In his name I pray. Amen.
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 All right. Tonight, I want to tell you a story. Would that be okay?
That'd be
cool.
Yeah.
Well, this happened before any of you were born.
Brinkman, report to the kitchen.
Again? It's been every day this week.
Do I look like I care? Now hustle it up. You know how the kitchen boss gets when y'all late.
Yeah, all too well.
Ah, I get Jack Brinkman. Lucky me.
How's it going, Louie?
Great. Did you get me some gum?
Yes, I have your gum.
It better be bubble gum.
Bubby Tubby, here you go.
Nice. Where'd you find it?
I traded with Sam. Had to give up a couple of books.
You know, you're becoming a real team player, Jack. I'm glad you're in for life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nobody scrubs the floor as good as you, Jack. And a clean floor buys me protection.
Protection from what?
From the warden. You don't want to upset the warden here.
I don't believe the rumors.
I saw him once. He's at least 9 feet tall. He's got teeth like nails. He can't be human.
So what is he, Bigfoot?
I'm not joking here, Jack. You heard about Richard, right?
No.
Last year, one of my guys made a break for it. Tried to go over the wall.
What happened?
After his public beating, they took him to the labyrinth. We haven't seen him since.
The labyrinth?
Yeah. There's tunnels under this place. Now the warden uses it to make prisoners disappear. Stay on his good side, Jack. And thanks for the gum.
So, I heeded Louis's advice and followed the rules.
Because you were scared of the warden?
No, I was more scared of the guards. I doubted the stories about the warden. You know, we never saw him around. And Louis was the only person I talked to who claimed to have seen him. I figured the guards spread the stories to keep us prisoners in line.
Oh.
The worst part of the prison for me wasn't the warden. It was boredom. There was nothing to do in our cell. Well, we would try to pass the time, but the days would drag on and on. There was one thing all the prisoners wanted to do. That was to work in what we called the factory. The prison had a big warehouse where they made license plates for cars. We all wanted to work there. Not only did it help us pass the time, the prison paid us $2 a day. It wasn't much, but it gave us a little spending money for the prison snack store and a little dignity. I worked hard to impress the guards, and after a couple of years, was lucky enough to score a job in the factory. There was always a lot of guys waiting in line to replace you, so mistakes were not an option.
Brinkman, we're punching out 20,000 license plates today.
20,000?
That's what I said. Are you deaf, boy?
No.
The state changed its background last week. If you can't keep up with the embosser, I'm putting you back on the shredder.
Well, I can do it.
You'd better. The second I'd see you falling behind, y'all done.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody. Let's get busy.
Hey, Jack.
Glad you're working the machine today. We might hit our quota.
The guard thinks I'm slow.
Yeah, he's just giving you a hard time. What was the winning vanity plate yesterday?
I punched one that said, car sick.
Do you like it here, Jack?
What?
Outside these walls, there's life. There's freedom where people work and play and live. Wide open skies.
Why are you torturing me like this?
Green grass and sunshine. Clear mountain streams. You don't need to stay here, Jack.
There are 74 active volcanoes on the Earth right now. And if they harness only a fraction of those...
Plate.
Well, why, it could be more than... Whoa! God, what is that? Is it even edible?
Listen, Feldspar. Quit complaining, or you don't get none. Plate.
Thanks.
All right, so...
Jack!
They say that these...
Hi, Louie.
Just normal.
Hey, listen, Jack. I need you to get me a drone. You know, those things that fly around. And make sure it can carry at least 2 pounds.
A drone? Here?
For what?
That's none of your business.
It's impossible.
I have lots of friends, Jack. They can make your life miserable. You'll find a way to get me that drone. Next, plate.
Jack. Over here.
Plate.
Hey, Russ.
What was that about? With Louis?
He wants me to find him a drone. There's no way I can swing that.
You sick of being locked up?
Of course.
You want to get out?
I'm in for life, with no parole.
Wait.
I'm never getting out.
Jack, do you want to leave?
What's this about, Russ?
I'm leaving, and you can come with me.
I don't get it.
Do I have to spell it out? I'm escaping now, and I'm inviting you to come with me. If you follow me, you'll be free.
Nobody's ever escaped from this place.
I have it timed exactly. I'm leaving in 20 seconds.
In 20 seconds? Are you crazy? Did you hear about Richard? He tried to escape 2 years ago and disappeared.
I've heard the rumors. I'm leaving in 10.
Well, you're gonna get caught.
I have to go now.
Hi there, this is Kate Brickman, and I hope you're enjoying our rather unique story. Even though I may be older than some of you listening right now, I still love audio dramas myself. In fact, I've listened to my favorite episodes many times, and they never seem to get old. Besides the Brickman Adventures, did you know there are other great Christian radio dramas out there? Visit our website, brickmanadventures.com, for our list of favorites. And be sure to support these producers so they can keep great material coming. Now, back to our story.
So, Dad, did you try to escape with that guy?
I didn't know what to do. I watched as Russ ran up to the thick glass door of the cafeteria. With one quick move, he picked the lock. As the heavy glass door began to slowly swing shut, I watched him take off running. He obviously had skill. When the door was half closed, I made my decision. I ran as fast as I could and reached the door just as it relocked with a dull clank. I was too late. Would I resent that moment for the rest of my life? Instinctively, I began pounding on the glass. Russ heard it and stopped running. He faced me. Then he glanced at his watch. I'll never forget that agonizing look on his face before he sprinted back. Again, with a single motion, he unlocked the door.
Come on.
Thanks.
Couldn't just leave you there. Afraid my timing is off now, though. As fast as you can run.
We ran to a second door. It was a heavy wooden door with a combination lock. Russ spun the dial back and forth several times and then gave a solid yank. With a groan, it swung open. We entered into a huge space. It was dark, so we couldn't see, and our footsteps echoed like we were in an old cathedral.
We ran for a good 200 feet on the hard rock floor, guided only by Russ's tiny pen light.
The door should be right here. Yep. This is it. Here. Hold the light for me.
You got it. Wow.
Help me pull the door. This one's heavy.
We ran in the dark for another 50 feet before coming to what resembled the door of a bank safe. Large metal rods extended from a handle. Russ began twisting and spinning these metal rods. I had never seen a door quite like it. And I had never seen anyone as skilled as Russ. Who are you? Houdini? You've opened every door.
We have one more to get through. Then we'll be free.
We found ourselves sprinting down a long hallway, dimly lit by video monitors mounted high on the walls every 20 feet or so. I wondered if avoiding the cameras was somehow related to the need for perfect timing. We ran for maybe 100 feet. There we were, large as life, on every monitor we passed. I knew someone was watching us. Fear began to grip my heart, and my feet became heavy as lead. My hopes of escape were beginning to evaporate. I remembered the labyrinth and began resenting my decision to follow Russ.
Almost there. Come on, Jack. You can make it.
They can see us through the cameras. We're dead.
Nothing we can do about it now. Just run.
By now, my lungs were burning and my legs felt like jello. As we rounded a turn in the hall, the final door came into view. Standing to the side of that door was an imposing statue, a giant knight. As we approached, the figure moved. It sidestepped and positioned itself between us and the door. We stopped abruptly, and I stood there, fearfully watching as the menacing figure removed its helmet. I realized, to my dismay, I was now face to face with the warden. He stood at least 10 feet tall and held a massive double-edged sword in his right hand. He had chiseled, cold features, jet black hair. His hard, cruel eyes bore into my soul. I was terrified.
What are you two doing here?
We're busting out.
Busting out? Nobody has ever made it this far. Who are you?
Russ reached into his pocket and pulled out a small dagger. It was beautiful, the likes of which I had never seen. White gold with an intricately carved handle. As he handed it to the warden, the dagger seemed to glow.
Where did you get this?
My father gave it to me.
What? Your father gave it to you? You're the son of the king! You don't belong in my prison. I am sorry. I did not know. You are free to go.
As the warden opened the final gate to release my friend, sunlight poured in. I could see green rolling hills. In the distance, situated on a rise, sat a beautiful castle. As Russ stepped through the door, my heart sank.
Why?
Because I wasn't the prince like Russ. I deserved to be in that jail.
What happened next?
I woke up.
Ah.
Seriously?
It's a dream.
I knew it.
I don't remember hearing that Dad was in prison.
Too bad you woke up. I'd like to know what would have happened next.
What do you think would have happened?
Well, I can't imagine the prince just walking away, leaving you there. He invited you to come with him and break out.
Yeah. He said you would be free if you followed him.
I'm guessing he would have said, he's with me.
That's what I think, too.
There was nothing about me that would cause the warden to let me go. I remember thinking,
I don't have a knife to prove I'm someone special. All I had going for me was that I was with the prince.
Wow, you really dreamed that?
Yep, when we were living up in Alaska before you guys were born.
That's a really cool dream. Russ reminds me of Jesus.
Yeah, he was the son of the king.
That's right. And Jesus came to earth and became a man, sort of like how Russ, the prince, became a prisoner.
He didn't force you to come with him. He invited you, and then you had to follow. Just like the Lord does with us.
You're right. Think about it. The prince became a prisoner named Russ. He entered the prison as an innocent person, served a punishment he didn't deserve, and then rescued me out of it.
All you had to do was accept his invitation and follow him.
It's the same with our salvation. Nothing we can do can save us. It's only through what Jesus did for us. We need to accept that gift and trust that his death and resurrection saves us, not our own goodness or efforts. This is called justification, and it happens as soon as we make the decision to become a follower of Jesus.
Not through works, that any man might boast.
Yeah, there's another similarity. I didn't have the ability to open the doors, but the prince could open every one of them. All I needed to do was keep following him.
That's sort of like how the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome obstacles in life.
And I like how the dream didn't end. We aren't in heaven until we actually die, and since we're still here on earth, our salvation isn't finished. It's only after we die that our salvation is finalized.
That's what we call glorification.
Also, you had to believe Russ would keep his word and help you escape in the end. That's kind of like the faith we have that God will keep his word and save us.
That was an amazing dream.
Reminds me of the book Pilgrim's Progress.
It's not scripture, and like any allegory, you can only take it so far. But it sure captures some of the elements of what's involved in our salvation.
Charlie, what's wrong?
Hey, Charlie. You okay?
No.
Why not?
I don't think I'm a Christian like you guys.
Do you want to be?
I do.
You know, we are separated from God because of our sin. In John 3:3, Jesus said, if we want to see the kingdom of God, we must be born again.
How can someone be born again? That's kind of weird.
Well, God gives us a picture of what this is like in nature. That twice-born fly you accidentally ate, that fly was sort of born a second time when it changed from a pupa into a fly. And caterpillars, in a way, are born again when they become butterflies.
Oh.
The Bible says that when we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Our heart is made clean, and we become a new creation. And when we die, we'll go to heaven. That's what it means to be born again.
I really want that.
Well, why don't you tell Jesus? He's listening right now.
Okay. Jesus, I want to be born again. I'm sorry for all the bad things I've done. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I want to follow you all the time. Just like Dad followed that guy out of prison. And I want to go to heaven someday and see you. Is there anything else?
Why don't you thank him for what he's done for you?
Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for helping me be born again. Amen.
Amen. Susan, look.
What's he doing?
He just gave his life to Christ. He's telling the world.
I've been born again. I have a new heart.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus.
Hi, Charlie.
Mr. Pennington.
You all packed for your plane ride with Mr. Staple Run?
No, not yet. I wasn't going to go, but now I think I am. Because I'm not afraid of dying anymore.
You're not... What?
I just asked Jesus to come into my heart.
Really? That's great, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm born again. Are you born again, Mr. Pennington?
I sure am.
Do you know if there's going to be hot dogs in heaven?
I don't know about that, but I was hoping there'd be bacon.
Hey, can I go for a ride on your golf cart?
Sure. Hop aboard.
You've been listening to the Brinkman Adventures, and this episode is entitled Twice Born Fly. While portions are fictional, today's episode has been based on real people and events. Charlie surrendered his life to Jesus. How about you? Have you been born again? If you haven't, you could be. Confess your sins to Jesus. Tell him that he's Lord and that you want to follow him and live his way. Ask him to live inside of you and give you a new, clean heart, and he will. If you make this important decision, be sure to tell your parents or pastor about it. To find out more about today's story, visit our website, BrinkmanAdventures.com.